FM News Talk 97.1.
On demand audio.
Right now, let's get to our guest, please. Rodney Boyd, Rod the Bod. How are you, my friend?
Hey, you know what? I'm good. And if anybody ever wants to hear an oxymoronic statement, let me get right at it. Happy tax day.
Yeah, happy tax. Happy Nancy Pelosi day, I like to say. Yeah. Or Bernie Sanders. They're going to have Bernie Sanders on Fox for a whole hour tonight talking about how he'd like to use your tax money.
Remember that sound about fingernails going across a chalkboard?
Yeah. I don't know who's going to really be paying a whole lot of attention to that, but at least Bernie's trying. I guess you have to give him credit for that.
I guess. I will defer to the great Mark Cox on that one. I can tell you I won't see it.
Rodney, before we get into the serious stuff about what's going on down in the state capitol, did you watch the golf tournament yesterday? Did you watch any of that?
I did not. Because I watched my two boys, which is a tournament unto itself.
I'll bet it is. It's keeping you busy, hopping all the time.
No, I didn't get to see it yesterday, but clearly the excitement was there.
What a great comeback. I mean, I just love stories like that. All those years, he had the downtime, obviously, with the mugshot and all that stuff, and the problems with his wife, and the drunk driving or drug driving or whatever it was, and the back surgeries. And here he walks back up 18 triumphantly and wins the Masters yesterday.
You know, and it was kind of cool to see I thought the prelude to that was when he was actually here in St. Louis. I mean, remember, he had a remarkable showing at the Centennial out in Belrive here.
He did.
People were thinking maybe he would make the comeback here in St. Louis. So it was nice to see him sort of get his swagger back in terms of his capabilities. And then yesterday, obviously, he took it across the finish line. So.
Yeah. To getting his swagger back, speaking of which, we got about 4 weeks left down in Jeff City. The Republicans in the Senate are going to have to get their swagger back and get some stuff passed between now and then. I guess I'm interested in this heartbeat bill. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the heartbeat bill, which is the bill that will restrict abortions once the heartbeat is detected in the fetus, has moved through the House. I mean, it has 117 votes in the House. That's it's a lot of votes. You only need 82. That bill will make its way over to the Senate and, I believe, get some floor time significantly. I see it as potentially a priority, so it will get some time in the Senate. And it's one of those bills that has a lot of heat on both sides, but in the Republican majority, it will find a healthy level of support. So, yeah, the bill is real. It's moving, and it will probably come up in the Senate. I don't know that it will be this week, but sometime we got about 4 weeks left. And to your point, there are a lot of things that need to get done. There are a lot of other things that are stacking the deck. When we talked about swagger, I thought you were going to pivot to the governor having a pretty good week last week with his agenda that had been at least there was some concern before last week as to whether or not that he would be able to get momentum on the bonding proposal because it had taken on opposition in the House and in the Senate for different reasons, nonetheless opposition. And his other proposals were on workforce, One Start, Fast Track, and the Missouri Work stuff was all sort of bottled up in the broader conversation. And look, I mean, the governor had a great week last week as far as those proposals advancing and compromise and negotiation giving way to positive movement. So,
you know, there's and I'll credit the Missouri Scout for this. There was they pointed me to a article in the Columbia Tribune by Phil Brooks regarding the governor.
Yes.
And it pointed out that he's a different person these days than kind of what people expected from his legislative days. And it was a little critical of the fact that he's not as accessible as a lot of people expected he might be down in the halls of Jefferson City.
Yeah, that one I scratched my head on, and I'll tell you why. Because maybe it's just where I happen to be in the building or out in Jefferson City, but I see this governor in terms of visibility more than I've seen the last three governors with regularity. Now, is he walking around the halls as if he's a legislator? No. But I see this governor a lot. I see his staff a lot. I see his people all the time. I'm walking up the hill to get back to the Capitol. He turns the corner. He lets the window down. So maybe it's just my experience, but I see this governor more in terms of just visibility. There's always something at the mansion for people to go to. So I'm not sure exactly if Phil's saying he's not accessible to the press. I'm not a member of the press, so I wouldn't know. but maybe that's where he's coming from. But Governor Parson is certainly not that hard to find if you're looking for him in Jefferson City.
But everybody likes Rodney Boyd, so there's no doubt that he rolls the window down to say hi to you.
I appreciate that. But no, I'm not sure what Phil was coming from. I mean, Phil is retired, and you know, he did a great legacy of 40-plus years, of almost 50 at KMOX, but I think he may be missing a step on this particular narrative. But it could be from the press perspective. I don't know that angle, but I know that Mike Parson is not that hard to find if you're looking for him in Jefferson City.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they said that he's become almost as restricted to journalists as Governor Greitens was. So that's a
yeah, and it may be on the journalistic side that he's got some stuff up. But, you know, look, I mean, there are a lot of people today that are cautious about the press, but he's the governor, and I guess to the extent that they have a press policy that the press feels is restrictive, that could be the case.
Well, I know he had lunch last week or the week before with Rex Sinkfeld, and the reporting on that is that, you know, Rex is opposed to these competing petitions down there against Better Together, and also opposed to changing the initiative petition process. There have been several bills to address that down there, right?
There are several bills. There's at least six bills that deal with Better Together. Each of them, in their own form, put a local step after any statewide vote, or in conjunction to a statewide vote, which means that if the state was to say, hey, city and county, you should merge, you must merge, you have to merge, there'd be a high bar set that would have to be ratified essentially by the city and county over a high percentage mark. So those bills are moving through the process in terms of they've been heard in both the House and Senate in committees, not on the floor yet, so we'll see when they get some floor time. And then, look, I understand people, you know, who use the initiative petition process don't want to see it changed, including Mr. Sinkfeld's organization and a number of others. But the fact is that when you have one of the lowest bars in the country for amending your state constitution, and that bar is low enough for people with resources, but not it's too high for the average Missourian, that's got to give way to a better policy. First of all, if the average person wanted to get an initiative petition, they'd have to have, you know, millions of dollars to collect signatures, to go around the state, and to get these things certified. But if you've got wealth, you don't. So the idea that we can amend the Constitution is a good one, and it is in the Constitution, and it's a part of our democracy. But the way we've been doing it in Missouri has really made it a higher bar for the average citizen, so it's not really used by regular people, and a low bar for people that have access to capital, and they change the Constitution every election cycle. I think the Secretary of State pointed out, and it was a big number, that there's probably already, you know, almost 40 or 50 initiative petitions to amend the Constitution that have been filed just this year. So it's April.
Right.
So you've already got these efforts underway to amend the Constitution. Some of it's a race to the sort of courthouse steps, if you will, so that they can do it before there's a change. I think we all, as Missouri, would be better served if you want to have, as we talked about before, Mark, the ability to do a statutory referendum, which could be dealt with in Jeff City. Great. The bar should be relatively low. But if you want to amend our Constitution, that document has to have some sacred component to it, where it just can't be changed because somebody can collect a bunch of signatures and have the resources to say that they want to put whatever in there. And we've gotten a lot of goofy things put in our Constitution just in the last 10, 15 years that we're going to have to now try to live with or spend a ton of money to undo.
Well, you know, Dean, I know Dean Plocker has a bill pending down there. They're hoping to get a House vote on it, which would I correct me if I'm wrong here. You might be more familiar with the bill than I am. I had him on talking about this a couple of weeks ago, but it would basically say that if anything was passed in the state of Missouri affecting the Constitution, it would in terms of mergers, it would require a local vote, which is all we're asking for here. The challenge here, Rodney, is that'll probably pass the House because there's going to be a pressure on a lot of these state representatives from the St. Louis County area. But I'm told that it's in the Senate that where Rex Sinkfeld is likely to cause that bill to maybe not even come to a vote.
Well, the Senate is an interesting body because all you need really is one or two senators who oppose anything, and it has a significant uphill battle, whether it's the petition process or any of the Better Together bills or any other bill. I mean, you know, prescription drug monitoring comes to mind. There are some bills that if one or two senators, especially, Mark, in the majority party, which would be interesting to see, if people oppose this stuff, it becomes very difficult. You know, the governor ran into a challenge with a few people on some of his priorities, and there was just hours and hours of debate. So there are no doubt going to be people who are going to want to support the, who are not going to want to see the Better Together legislation get through. The question becomes, where is leadership? Where will folks be when this stuff does inexorably come up on the floor? Because even if a bill doesn't come up on the floor, the actual bill, that underlying bill, an amendment can come up on the floor that embodies the text of the bill and be offered and forced to debate. That happens a lot in the latter part of session. So we're going to see Better Together proposals on the floor of the Senate. The question is, and I'm sure you'll be tuning in, as well as most folks in the region, as to what the floor debate contains, who opposes, who's for, where do people really stand. You won't know that until some version of a Better Together language hits the actual Senate floor. And I guarantee you, there will be, whether it's the underlying bill, Mark, or someone offering the underlying bill as an amendment to force the debate, there will be a debate on the Senate floor.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I was opposed to Clean Missouri. You and I talked about it extensively, that it was a Trojan horse talking about ethics reform, and all it was really designed to do was change the way legislative districts are drawn in the state of Missouri. There's been discussion down there of trying to fix that, like to put another initiative on the ballot, and now I'm told that the people that supported it initially, Clean Missouri, that is, want to put their own second initiative on the ballot, which they'd call Cleanest Missouri or something crazy like that.
Yeah, I'm hearing that as well, and the Clean Missouri reforms that you just talked about, legislative reforms, are running into the same kind of opposition on the Senate floor that we talked about with regards to the other issue, the Better Together. There are a few senators who liked the Clean Missouri proposal, and they don't want to see a change. And so they're talking, they're using the filibuster power to stop the bill from advancing. You end up running out of time. I mean, there's a 100 or so or 200 or so bills on the calendar. You can't spend 10, 15 hours debating them all. That's what I mean when I say running out of time on
right,
the floor.
Right.
So the point is, yeah, there's a Cleanest Missouri proposal out there. I think it's probably in part a threat to try to stave off any efforts to modify Clean Missouri. And my biggest problem with Clean Missouri was that it dealt with so many different topics lumped in together as legislative. And I know that the average Missouri voter, when they went in at on the eve of what we had lived through, thought they were cleaning up politics and didn't know all of the aspects of the bill. It's just a complicated thing to ask the voter to go in and vote on 15 or 20 different referendum proposals and to comprehend them all. So when you put, you know, there was a lawsuit that the lower court said they agreed that this was too many topics in one bill. If you want to deal with legislative districts, put that out there. If you want to deal with ethics, lobbying, and all those reforms, the voters should be able to transparently see what they're voting on. And that's the challenge with Clean Missouri. It was all cobbled together as one package, and you end up dealing with lobbyist gifts, which everybody says you should ban them. Great. And then you end up also talking about creating a new process to draw districts in the same bill. And I still think that was something that a lot of voters didn't fully digest when they walked into the polls.
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, we know some things changed, some things haven't. The Missouri Scout put a poll out asking how Donald Trump would do if the election were held today. And he beats every single Democrat by eight points or 9 points at least. He beats Joe Biden by the least amount. But everybody below that gets walloped by Donald Trump in the state of Missouri.
Donald Trump is going to carry Missouri, and I will say this, unless something cataclysmic happens, which I don't see. I think the biggest issue that he had is in the rearview mirror, which was the Mueller report. And I think as he moves forward, I think in Missouri, I would not be stunned to see the president carry Missouri by double digits, comfortable double digits. And so, look, he'll have challenges in St. Louis and Kansas City. That's just not his sweet spot. But for the rest of the state, look for double digits. I mean, single digits is I think, people being conservative. President's approval ratings in some parts of the state are 70-80%. I mean, he's going to be a force in Missouri, and he's going to affect the other races in Missouri to a great degree.
Very good. Rodney Boyd, thanks for your time, my friend. Have a good week.
Get more at 971talk.com.